May I have your attention, please?
Yes, sir.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Yidra Abel Benjamin Alexander Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest on very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Tony Israel Yahab Hawkins, and I'd like to be forever as priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. Allow us to turn up to Sons of Israel Abel Zephaniah Odeya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. Today, my title is going to be Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. For my first scripture, can you turn to Leviticus 19:18, found on page 96. Leviticus 19, verse 18. And it says, do not seek revenge nor bear a grudge against one of your own, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. Before we can keep this law, we must first learn what love is. And who our neighbors are. Yahweh shows us in the Holy Scriptures what love is. And if you all please turn over to 1 Yochanan. Verse 3. On page 967. And it says, for this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his laws, and his laws are not grievous. He says the laws are love. When you practice the laws, you're showing love to everyone around you. Who is our neighbor? You might think that your neighbor is someone who lives next to you. You are correct. But they are not your only neighbors. A neighbor is anyone you meet or another human being like yourself, a fellow man or woman, anyone. So this law is telling us that we must treat everyone we meet according to the law of Yahweh. Even those who are not in Yahweh's house, we should also treat them with the same way we treat people in the house. For example, if you go into a store and you do not steal, then you are showing love and respect for the owner of that store, because you kept Yahweh's laws when you showed love for others, by keeping Yahweh's laws when you show love for Yahweh as well. And with that, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over for prayer.
Deacon Melchizedek Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We'll start off by turning over to the book of Yaakov. I'd like to start off today, bring our focus on some wise advice that the apostle gave us, because as we go through the day-to-day grind, the tests and the trials, it can become harder for us to control our words and actions. And the apostle talked about this, so let's start off by going over to the book of Jacob. Jacob 3, it's found on page 954. And let's start off with verse 2. And he says, "For in many things we all offend, error, sin. If any man does not offend in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, so that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Behold, also, the ships, although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are turned about by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. In the same way, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is like a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue is set among our members, defiling the whole body and destroying all creation. And for this is subject to the fire of Gehenna. For every kind of beast and bird and of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless Yahweh, our Father, and with it we curse men who are being made in the likeness of Yahweh. Out of the same mouth, blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a fountain send out the same opening, fresh water and bitter?" So here we can see how powerful our tongue is. We can bless someone, or we could curse someone. We can make someone's day a blessing, or we can make it miserable. You know, this is one of the many reasons why we should be careful of what we say. And if you notice in verse 2, it says that if we can control our tongue, we can control our whole body. If we can bridle our tongue, we can bridle our whole body. If we could look over to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at verse 24, starting off in verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. And everyone who competes conducts himself temperately in all things. Now they compete to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man who beats the air. No, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." So he talks about controlling. In the book of Jacob, he talks about bridling the tongue. So what is a bridle? A bridle is a piece of equipment that is used to direct the horse. Okay, the bridle is held in place on the horse's head by the cheek pieces, which run down the sides of the horse's face. The head stall, which goes over the top of the horse's head and sits behind the ears, and the throat latch, which goes under the horse's head from the right ear to the left. The brow bands run across the horse's forehead and sit just below the ears. Now the bit goes into the horse's mouth and always sits on the top of the tongue. And horses have a space in their teeth called the bars where the bit rests. This makes it easier to hold the bit in place where it acts on principles of leverage to allow the rider to control the horse's movement. Improperly fitted or used bits can cause a horse considerable pain. Some bits act by using pressure on the horse's tongue. So this is why we need to learn to control our tongue. All right, we need to learn to control our tongue, you know, Because, you know, we could cause a lot of trouble and pain to other people if we don't learn to do this. All right, if we could look over to the book of Matithya. Matithya chapter 12. Let's start off on verse 34. It's found on page 739, and it says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak righteous things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth truly speaks. A righteous man from the righteous treasure of the heart brings forth righteous things. But an evil man from the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And I say to you that every word against the work that men will speak, they will give account for it in the day of sentencing. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned." All right, so now in the gematria, the numbers, or the phrase, if you can see this, control tongue, it comes up to the number 1074, and also disciplining bodies comes up to the number 1074, which we should all know about that number 1074, that is your tag number, all right? This is one. These are one of the character traits of those who are tagged with the number 1074. All right. But in conclusion, I'd like to say, Abraham Lincoln once said, "It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt." So with that, if everyone will please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Another great Sabbath day. Let's get right back at it. Guess what we're going to talk about? What number? Everybody's like, okay, is this a trick question? Yeah, 1074. We're going to get right back at it because the well never ends. And we're going to kind of set you up for the feast today. This great feast that's fixing to come up. I don't know if I can hear myself. Can y'all hear me all right? Okay. All right. Can we have the first slide? I'll give you the title. We are living in the 1074, or the 1074 generation. Okay. And remember that tag number, GMK 1074, was issued in 2016. Let's turn over to Matithya chapter 24 to read a verse here. Because there's clues given in your book of Yahweh in the numbers, even the numbers assigned to verses of when this last generation would begin. So let's look at 24:33. It says, "In the same way, when you see all these things, know that it's coming, and the end of the age is near at the very door. Truly I say to you, that generation..." Can I have my next slide? That word generation used there in 24:34 is word number 1074. That generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. So we see the 33, verse 33 and 34, showing the conception and the birth of the witness, the start of this last generation, and the tag number right there in the word generation. Okay, can I have my next slide? Here is the 1074. Okay, it began on 8/28/1934. Okay, the 1074 is 1934 in gematria. Is that not a miracle? Just more evidence, just mounting to the heavens. Okay, and if there's anything beyond that, I mean, it's probably just stacking and stacking here. But it doesn't end there. Let's go to the next slide. The gematria for the name of the person born, remember his name was changed to Israel Hawkins. Yahweh changed it, but it says Buffalo Bill Hawkins, 1934 AY, and you'll see 3072, and 3072 should be a very familiar number. Remember, it means Yahweh Zikkenu, Yahweh our righteousness. Okay, and notice for the next slide. Yahweh Zikanu 1074, Righteousness 1074. These should be really getting implanted in our minds here. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. Because we're going to read about this Yahweh Zitkanu and what this is talking about here. Jeremiah 23:5 says, "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch, and a king will reign and succeed and will execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Yada will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. And this is the name that he will proclaim to them, Yahweh Zitkanu, Yahweh our righteousness." Okay, now, this is talking about this branch that Yahweh's going to raise up. Can I have my next slide? Turn over to Deuteronomy 18:18, because it shows you who Yahweh's raised up. The Yahweh told us that he would raise up someone for us in Deuteronomy 18:18. On page 162, it says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you," speaking to Moshe, "from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. Whoever will not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I will judge him for it." Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 3. Acts 3, verse 22. And that number should mean something to you. 322, that's the tag number, another tag number belonging to the last day's witness. 322 reiterates what we just read. He said, "For Moshe truly said to the fathers, Yahweh your father will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Him you will hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it will be that everyone who will not hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people." Now notice, the gematria is here, the last witness Israel, 1818. Yahweh raised him up, 1818. "My word is in him," 1074. "Him you will hear," 1074. Okay, now this is identifying who this is speaking of. It's narrowed it down to a person here. Okay, that we need to listen to, that we need to do everything this man says. Okay, otherwise, we will end up destroying ourselves. Yahweh will not destroy us. We'll destroy ourselves because we didn't listen to what he was trying to and begging us to do. This man, can I have my next slide? By the way, we found the Pope's license tag. We were finally able to locate it. Found him in Nevada. You know, he was in Vegas in Sin City. But this man, the last day's witness, Israel Hawkins, he was raised up to take us from 666 to 1074. Okay? Now, we were all in that pit, you know, at the time. Okay, we were brought here. We were in the image of Satan, 666. But now we were brought to Yahweh's house and we're being made in Yahweh's image, making man in my image, 1074. But notice, from 666 to 1074, you see the number 3334. 3334. Now, who was born in 33 and 34? And who's in Matthew 24, 33 and 34? And who in Luke 19, 33 and 34 was told to loose the colt because the teacher needed him? You know, these are all clues to let you know we're in the right place with the right person, okay? Pope Francis was born in 36, which would be like 666. So you can wipe him off your list, okay? Let's go to the next slide. 1074 also in the Hebrew, here's what it means. It's the word bakuru, and it means firstborn. You'll notice from Abiram Publications, bakuru's meaning is firstborn. And remember, Yahshua is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, okay? He's the firstborn, but he's not the only one, okay? Look at the first of many, 1074. Image to be changed over. Pastor talked about how our image is going to change from the 666 to this image and likeness of Yahweh here. Image to be changed over, 1074. Begotten of Yahweh. Well, who begot us in these last days? House of Yahweh, are you begotten by Yahweh? Are you begotten sons and daughters? 1074? Notice it ain't just men. It's the daughters. 1074. And who begot us with the message? That's right, Israel Hawkins. It wasn't Pope Francis. It wasn't some guy in a church somewhere on the corner. It was the last witness Israel. You know, we had that gene of Abraham within us that was ignited, and it set off something in our mind, and Yahweh brought us here. We said, hey, something that we read by the witness Israel turned a light bulb on in our head and said, hey, I got to get to that place. To what place? This place. Deuteronomy 12:5, the house of Yahweh. Go to the next slide, please. Strong's 1074 in the Greek means, it's the word genea, which is the word where the word genealogy comes from. It means generation, race. There's that word race. It's not talking about what color skin you have. It's talking about coming from a certain course of life or a stock. It means a family, an age, time, a begetting, birth, nativity, the successive members of a genealogy. And it's from 1085, meaning offspring, family, race, nation, stock, kind. The aggregate, or that means the sum total of many individuals of the same nature. Character, the same character, or kind or sort, okay? And notice, behaving as Abraham behaved. What did Genesis 26:5 say about Abraham? What did he do? He kept Yahweh's laws, statutes, and judgments and commandments, right? Notice, race and stock of Abraham, 1074. Behaving as Abraham behaved, 1074. In Acts 13:26, we won't turn there, but in the King James, it uses the word stock, the stock of Abraham, and in our book of Yahweh, it says nation of Abraham. So either way, they're interchangeable. Let's go to the next slide. In Isaiah 51:1 in the book of Yahweh, it says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. You know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be writing 1074 and everything in your book of Yahweh that's 1074. That's what we should be doing. Because that word righteousness, you who follow after 1074, you who seek Yahweh, look to the rock from which you were cut and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Okay, remember this priesthood that started with Abraham. You go back to the genealogies series and read about the genealogies of the kingdom. Let's go to the next slide, because we'll read a little bit about it here. This is from the 14th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 18, in the plan genealogies number 1. On verse 112, pastor says, and to Sarah who bore you. Did you get that? From whose bloodline you are in. From whose bloodline you are, in other words. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. Okay, and then he says in verse 115, look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah who bore you. She's not actually, you know, you didn't come from her womb, but nevertheless, you came from her genes and her bloodline. Because if y'all remember, pastors taught us, Sarah was Abraham's niece. Okay, so they were from the same bloodline. Okay, now let's look at it says Abraham, Sarah bloodline, 1074. What a coincidence, right? Let's go to the next slide. We were able to locate a strand of DNA with that 1074 in it. If you can see on your screen. Okay, I'm kidding again. It's like that train. Didn't go over that well this time. I guess you guys, you caught me on this one. Okay, but notice, we have genes of Abraham, 1074. Inherit gene of Abraham, 1074. Have the holy genes, 1074. Our gene pattern, 1074. Now, these are proofs, okay, you know, that this is what Yahweh taught us, what Israel Hawkins taught us all along about these planned genealogies of the kingdom. The priesthood, beginning with Abraham, was right on target. Not only are the prophecies and the laws correct, but pastor was correct, and the numbers are backing him up, 100%, 1,000,000%. Can I have my next slide? Matithiah 1:1, the very first book in your book of Yahweh, has the tag number written right in it. Notice, it says the record of the begettings. That word begettings is the word 1074. It says the record of the begettings of Yahshua Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay, it shows the success. There's many people between them, like 42 generations, but it just names these three right here. And notice, Abraham, David, Messiah, 1074. Of Abraham, David, Messiah, 1074. Wow, what a coincidence, right? In the very first book of volume 2, in the very first verse. Can I have my next slide? That word Messiah, it actually means anointed. It's used a couple times in Daniel. Here it is from Daniel 9:25. Talking about the Messiah, the prince that would come. If you notice, the Hebrew gematria of Messiah is 358. And 358 times 3 is 1074. Wow, what a coincidence, right? Well, because, you know, that word anointed, you know, he's not the only one that was anointed. He's the high priest. But you also have Yahweh's anointed for uprightness, Yisro Hawkins. And if you remember, Yahweh's anointed for uprightness, it was 1074. Anointed for uprightness. Can I go to the next slide? Daniel also saw this man, this branch. He wrote about him in Daniel 12. If you remember, he talked about seeing the question and answer show. We went over that. We had a whole sermon on it with the two witnesses. He wrote this book in 534 BY. He also saw the man clothed in linen, right? On that future day who was teaching. That's all in Daniel 12, written in 534, which means branch. Wow, what a miracle. Can I go to the next slide? From the time he wrote it to the birth of the witness in 1934 was 2,468 years. And 2468 means age, short time. Okay, that's in the Hebrew. And in the Greek, it means, it actually, those or 1074, it matches those, some of the definitions in 1074. Remember, it means age and time in 1074 as well. The beginning of the last age. Remember, the end of the ages. Can I have my next slide? Word number 2468 in Strong's Greek means to agree, to give self wholly to. It means to have come, to be present, to stay, to be devoted to one, to be subject to one, to be in his hands or power, to be of a kinder class, to be of the number. As in the number 1074, he's one of the number. Okay, this man that was born in 1934, he's one of the 1074. Okay? And remember, some of these definitions like have come, give help, self holy to. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to the teachings. Set your love upon these things. Give yourself completely or wholly to them. And who has done that in these last days? Who has done that? Who has given himself completely to this? And look at Hebrews 10:7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O Yahweh. That's what this man is all about. Okay? He's all about the work and the will of Yahweh. Okay? Go to the next slide. Just like the cornerstone. Remember, the cornerstone, Yahshua, is tagged 1074 because this man is just like him. He's in unity with Yahshua and Yahweh completely. They're built on this rock at Abel. The rock is Yahweh, remember. Now, Zechariah 6:11 and 12 says, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them on the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, the high priest. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Okay, so Yahshua is told to, you know, that word behold, it's pastor's given us many sermons on it. But it don't just mean look at him. You know, it means guide, instruct, to lead, etc. Let's go to the next slide. Because you're going to see how our great high priest is tagged in or tagging along right beside us. Notice, the generation of the 1074, 2424 means Yahshua. Okay, it means Yahshua. And look here, the GMK 1074 also is 2424. How do you do this? I'm sorry, we didn't write the gematria codes. We didn't do it. We're not conspiring with anybody. Okay, Yahweh had this all planned out who knows how long ago. And I want you to consider, look at that number G in GMK. There's a star right over it. G is the seventh letter in the alphabet. He's the seventh Moloch. And he has a star over him. Remember the seven stars or the seven Molochim written about in Revelation 1? He's the seventh Moloch. And the GMK, as one of the great sisters told us one time, she said, great, mighty king. And it came out the 1074. Imagine that. Well, let's see if that was right. So G is 7 in the GMK, with star over it. Remember, Texas is not called the Lone Star State for no reason. He is the only star. He's the only Malachim. He is the only witness. There is no other. There is no other left. Okay, he's the last witness. There's no other preaching salvation anywhere in this world. That's why we're called the Lone Star State. Go to the next slide. Look, the 1074 is word number 2434, and it means seven. It's the word used in the seven Malachim. Imagine that. That word 2377 means prophet. Go look it up yourself later. Can I have my next slide? So look back to the tag. GMK 1074, 2022. 1934 AY, the end of the age, 2022. Well, what could 2022 mean? You should know these numbers by now. Next slide. Remember, it means the mountain, the promotion. The promotion, the mountain. Are you not in the promoting the house at this time and sitting in the promoted place? 2022. Wow. And notice, are the people of the holiest generation, 1074. That's you, brothers and sisters. I hope you're warmed up for the feast, because this is going to be the most awesome feast you have ever experienced. And I'm not talking just about the food. The spiritual food is going to be, it's going to really just knock your socks off. At this time, if everybody would please stand. It is my great honor and opportunity to present to you one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. If you saw me turning the book, it's kind of hard to read a book upside down. We got a lot to cover again. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It's on page 729 in your book of Yahweh. And I'm going to start right off reading it as we have it in the book of Yahweh. Now after Yahshua was born in Bethlehem of Yada in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east of Jerusalem, and inquired, where is he who is born king of the Yadaim? For we have seen his star from its rising, and we have come to worship him. Then Herod the king heard this. When he heard this, he was disturbed. He didn't like anybody muscling in on his territory, I guess. And all Jerusalem with him. And when he had assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he asked them, where will the Messiah be born? And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Yada, for this is written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Yada, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, whom when he had secretly summoned his wise men, found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent to them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, report to me again, so I may also go and worship him. Yeah, he was going to worship him all right with a 44, maybe. After they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw at its rising went before them until it came and stood over the place where their young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I've heard of shooting stars, but this is really something else. The words wise men that are written in Matthew 22, verse 1, are translated from the Hebrew word ashaf, or asaf. The Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Kleins, volume 1, page 40, so this word means shield, rods of word, concealed servant of Yahweh. A lot of other books say it's something terrible. But this one book has got it right. The name Bethlehem that is written in Matthew 2, verses 1, 5, 6, and 8 is translated from the Hebrew compound word Bayit Leham. In fact, they are two words with a hyphen even in the Hebrew. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, pages 197, 199 through 199, 205, and 384 shows the Hebrew word Bayit means house of Yahweh, Abel, and Abel. The Hebrew word Leham is listed on page 3537 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means staff of bread as support of life, the bread of life. The word Yada that is written in Matthew 2, verse 1, is translated from the Hebrew word Yada. This word is listed on page 236 of the Sefer HaShasharim, a Hebrew and English lexicon by Selig Newman, which shows this word means those who thank Yahweh, or give thanks, or reverence. The word star that is written in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2 and 7 through 10 is translated from the Hebrew word kukab. This word is listed on page 297 of an Hebrew and English lexicon without points by John Parkhurst, which shows that word means a malach of Yahweh. The words at or from its rising, some Bibles say in the east, that are written in Matthew 2, 2 and 9 are translated from the Hebrew words Bamazarak Darak. The Hebrew word Bamazarak is listed on page 405 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows this word means birth. The Hebrew word Darak that is listed on page 338 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which shows it means to lead of the way. The word Ephrata that is written in Matthew 2, 6 is translated from the Hebrew word Ephrata, which traces back to the Hebrew word Farah. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, page 1151, shows this word, Hebrew word Farah, means to bear or to lift up. The word over that is written in Matthew 2, 9 is translated from the Hebrew word Sham. This word is listed in 1401 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word means then. So this is what is being said, and this is very important, and in my opinion, it's a bombshell. Now, after Yahshua was born in the house of Yahweh at Abel, who are those who reverence Yahweh and bring the bread of life, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the word of Yahweh came from the Malach of Yahweh to Jerusalem. And an inquiry was made. Someone said, where is he who is born the king of the Yadayim? For we have seen the Malach of Yahweh to guide us, and we have come to worship him. Then Herod the king heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had assembled all the chief priests and scribes, the people together, he said, where will the Messiah be born? And they said to him, in the house of Yahweh at Abel, those who reverence Yahweh and bring the bread of life, for this is written by the prophet. And it is Malachi 5, verse 2, put it in your notes. It says the same thing as I'm going to read to you here. But to you, O house of Yahweh, you who reverence Yahweh and bring the bread of life will be lifted up through you. Though you are little among thousands of Yada, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod said, when he had secretly summoned his wise men, found out the exact time the Malach of Yahweh had appeared. And he sent them to the house of Yahweh at Abel, those who reverence Yahweh and bring the bread of life, and said, go search diligently for the child whom you have, when you have found him, report to me again, so may I also go and worship him. After they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the Malach of Yahweh whom they saw guided them and went before them until he came and then stood at the place where the young child was born. When they saw the Malach of Yahweh, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Brothers and sisters, every one of you needs to ask yourself, when the Moloch of Yahweh comes up here to speak, who is that Moloch? Then what should you be doing? What does the scripture say you're supposed to be doing? Exactly. And the thing of it is, Yahshua was not born in a town named Bethlehem. He was born at the house of Yahweh at Abel. Now, that means he wasn't in the sanctuary where he was born. It means he was on some of the property that belonged to the house of Yahweh. And we have had children born here on the house of Yahweh property. But even if you weren't born on the house of Yahweh property and you came all the way from north somewhere, remember the woman who had birth pangs? Your submission to Yahweh and being baptized in His name is your birth. And you were baptized where? At the house of Yahweh. And for those of you who are born, not say in the house of Yahweh, you also have this blessing. Remember, Yahshua said about the son who went in the world and lost everything. And when he came back, everybody, instead of saying, "You bum, you rat, you fool," what did they do? They rejoiced. So it doesn't matter whether you were born in Kennebec, Canada somewhere, or Aroostook, Maine, or Laredo, Texas, wherever, when you came here and got baptized and become part of the house of Yahweh, you were born here. And that is what this is about. Yahshua followed the word. Even his mother and father followed the word, because they served Yahweh. And he was born at the house of Yahweh. And to make sure he stayed born, he got baptized at the house of Yahweh by a priest. His name was Yochanan. At this time, may Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. If you take your book of Yahweh really quickly and turn over to page 97... it's important to understand this one part, to understand what we're showing in the news today, and so you can understand and see the system of how it progresses, because that's what we're seeing, and it goes all the way down, and the final result being nuclear war. Nuclear war and this burning fire, this hell on earth, as they say. But Isaiah says it will be a burning that takes place. In Leviticus 18, verse 21... notice verse 21, it says, "You shall not give any of your children to pass through the fire." Don't give them to war. "Sacrifice them to Molech," that's the god of war. "You shall not profane the name of Yahweh by giving your children to the gods. Elohim, I am Yahweh." So we're commanded not to give our children over to the gods. Now, there's a lot of questions come up concerning things that a person can do at a certain age. And we want to kind of explain, because there's no law that requires you have a driver's license. But we want to show you what is actually stated here on the application. And this is what Pastor was talking about. If you can zoom in right here on the bottom. It says United States Selected Services. Now, listen carefully to what it says. "Any male citizen or immigrant who is at least 18 years of age but less than 26 of age submitting this application consents..." When you touch it, it goes off. "Consents to registration with the United States Selective Service System." Now that means you, by signing this application, if you're under the age of 18, your parents have to sign it for you, giving permission. Now, there's nothing that says you have to sign that application. There's no law that says you shall go to prison if you do not have a Texas driver's license. It doesn't say that. There's also a system that is set up, and of course, it's called the MEPS facilities. Now, there's some videos we're going to show you. MEPS is spelled M-E-P-S, and the facility can be a school. There are also facilities that are set aside by the government, and they want to give you a MEPS test or an ASVAB test. An ASVAB test And what that ASVAB test, and of course all these are acronyms, and we'll tell you what those meanings are here shortly. It's there. Imagine you're a junior in high school, you're 17, 18 years old, and you want to know what job you want to do, but you're not really sure what you want to do. Well, they'll come in, or you can go to them either way, and you can tell them, I'd like to take this test because I really want to know more about myself, because it's an aptitude test. And this aptitude test, they say, will tell you things about yourself that you never even knew. There's careers that are available to you that you may not even know you want to do, and we can show you which ones those are. And you go to those facilities to take that, and you'll get an AFQT score. An AFQT score. Well, when you go to the MEPS facility, of course, that means that stands for the Military Entrance Processing Station. And your ASVAB test that you take is the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery. And then, of course, the AFQ score is your Armed Forces Qualifying Test. Now, you may say that, well, that's said for men only. On the website, and you can go to it, just type in MAPS test, it tells you that you will also be given a pregnancy test during this time. That's not men. Don't think that if you're a young lady that it's not talking about me, be careful what you do. There's some videos in the news to show you what's going on, because once you get there, I'll only say this much and the news will say the rest. They need a lot of men in the military. When you're in the world to get men there, they need to lure you with something. They're using women. When the women don't like the way they're treated, they throw them out. You'll see it in the news. If you think it's a great thing, if you think it's a great idea, imagine someone coming against you and doing something very vile to you, and when you go to a leader, they throw you out and tell you, we don't want to hear anything you have to say, and then you're back to square one. Everything you could have done before you went to the military, you're back trying to get a job, but with a dishonorable discharge. And they want to know why people are committing suicide leaving the military. Well, going from that, we go into the Vatican, which is once again being exposed, that man of sin being revealed in the midst, which is where we're at, and that's exactly what's taking place. We're in the midst of the 7-year peace treaty. That 3.5 years that is separate, awaiting the last 3.5 years, the man of sin is being revealed. Now notice what they say about how they lied to their congregation. They lied to the police department. They lied to everyone. But yet people still, some are saying, stand behind the Vatican. Many are walking away. Many are turning their backs on them. Many are saying, this is disgusting. But I want to recall your memory back to the cardinal that was the St. Louis cardinal, who said that I cannot say that I knew that molesting a child was wrong. Why? Because it's due to the teachings. The Great Kahan brought a sermon on how there's rituals done in the Catholic Church, and it's considered a ritual rite. It's not considered molestation, but that's exactly what they're doing. Now, they asked the prosecutor, how many calls have you gotten since this started? And it's very interesting. And write down, he says, I've gotten 733 calls since this started to his office. Look what the number 733 is. We put it up there for you to see. It identifies everything taking place with this man of sin, the system of sin, which if you go and you walk into this, it's all about perversion. Everything is about perversion. And when they don't give you what you want, kill them, which is how we get into what's taking place in Syria right now. They're calling this the final showdown. The perfect storm is what the UN is calling it. The UN says that all people who they deem as terrorists need to be destroyed. Notice that they deem as terrorists need to be destroyed. Well, you have Iran, you have Russia, and you have Turkey all teaming together right now. And just yesterday alone, there was a very heated discussion in the UN Security Council between Russia and the United States and also a representative of Syria. What is being said is that the United States is saying to Assad, if any more chemical attacks are used in your country, we are going to come in with military action. Remember, we just showed in the news where that was said back in the Roman month of April of this year, and they went in and they bombed Damascus with absolutely no evidence whatsoever. None. Well, they're telling them again in Idlib, which this is called the last stronghold. They're saying that if the Syrian government, with Russia and Turkey backing them, and Iran, if they can take Idlib back from the terrorists, then they will have won the war. The United States says, no, it can't take place. Right now, you have warships of the United States setting off in the Persian Gulf. You have Russian warships setting off in Syria. Everybody has said, if you act, we will respond. That's exactly what was said in the UN. Remember, the White Helmets were accused of causing this chemical attack last time. That's probably more realistic of who's putting the things out from what the news reports say. Well, the White Helmets just arrived in Idlib this morning, reports coming out on RT. They're expecting chemical attacks. Now, the White House has said they're locked and loaded, and you'll hear them say that. One chemical attack, we're locked and loaded. And where do you think they're going to shoot the missiles? Of course, they'll shoot them toward Damascus. Remember, all the things you've seen in the news, all the things you see them talking about today, the seventh Malak brought every bit of this out before they ever mentioned one word on the news. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
I'll get him for you. Shalom, everyone. I'm waiting on some bamboo shoots here. You're a wonderful looking sight. Just one?
Okay.
Here we go. Here we go. Put a smile on your face. Hey, God. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. One thing for certain, we don't see any peace out there in the world. It's all defilement. Let me see. Right here. I guess I'll start right there. I wanted to show you this first, to show you just how bad the world is getting. This 4-year-old girl. See the headlines there? 4-year-old girl hospitalized with life-threatening sepsis after trying on a pair of shoes without socks. Now, maybe they'll believe me one of these days how defiled everything is in these stores. She went to a store and tried on some shoes. She could have died, you know. A lot of people do. A lot of people don't tell anyone where they've been. They just lay there and die, you know. But this is really shocking. But it's if they'd read the scriptures, if they'd listen to the house of Yahweh, as you know, Yahweh's pretty much covered all bases as to where his house is by now. I think it'd take somewhat of an idiot if they couldn't understand it. Now, with all the information that's been brought out on the house of Yahweh, the prophecies of the house of Yahweh, the gematria of the prophecies that's been brought out. But I want you to turn with that in mind right there. That's not the sermon, but turn over to Leviticus 18 and look, because Yahweh tells us here what caused this woman, this girl, to get a life-threatening parasite from trying on a pair of shoes in today's world. If you go into a store, brethren, you better wake up and listen to me. I would wear some rubber gloves or something. I wouldn't expose myself to anything in there. And I would spray my shoes, my soles of my shoes. I'm not going. I don't want to go, and I'm gonna stay out of those places as much as I possibly can. But in Leviticus, the 18th chapter, if you see the word defile there, can you boys see that? Hello, up here. Can you see that word defile? Shake your head if you can. Can you see the word defile? You see it yet? You got your book of Yahweh? We'll get it here in just a minute. I want everyone to see this and see how dangerous this is, and that Yahweh has warned you in advance. The verse is chapter 18, verse 20. Moreover, you shall not have, and I won't read the rest of that, but you can read it, to defile yourselves therewith. If you look down to verse 22, I won't read that either. You got to read it for yourself there. You see it? Okay. Confusion. That's where your mind gets so bogged, you know, that you can't think. Confusion. It confuses everything you try to do. Your mind will function properly if you don't get this defilement in it. Most people are born with it from sins that comes from their mothers and daddy. And then they add to that pile, and they get to where everything around them, they can't understand it, and they go around doing things and don't know why they're even doing it. Confusion and perversion. Do not defile yourselves, Yahweh said. Verse 24. Verse 25. And the land is defiled. The land we're living on is defiled. The land we're living in. It's defiled. The land itself vomits out her inhabitants by death, kills them, knocking them off one by one. It's not that they're set out to kill these people. They're defiled, and this defilement is going into the grocery stores. Did you see the meat departments? That's safer than it is here in the United States, I can guarantee you that. They can keep it in the freezers and refrigerators and let the defilement build, and you don't even know what you're eating. Talk about getting a disease from a pair of shoes just by trying them on, a death-defiling disease. This comes from what you just read here in Leviticus. Look at 26 and look at the abomination. And you might remember that word abomination when you read Revelation 17, which shows a religion that sits on seven hills. Look back quickly to verse 3. And you'll see where that religion comes from. You see that? Verse 3? Egypt, the Coptic Catholic religion, which is now the Roman Catholic religion, which sits on the seven hills of Rome. And Yahweh warns them, don't bring these evil, defiling customs of the Coptic Catholic religion. He tells you there right there in verse 3. Don't bring them into your camp. And people will gullibly go out into the world, into this world, a sin-sick world, that don't have Yahweh's sprinkling from death. They don't have any of Yahweh's instructions. They only have what the example is set here coming from the Coptic Catholic religion, which is the Roman Catholic religion. I would I could write it on the blackboard for you 100 times. That's what the teacher used to make me do. That was my punishment. I did that twice, and I learned better after twice. The punishment of write this. I will not do this anymore. Whatever it was that I did. Well, that should be enough on that. Yeah, if you just remember and study this over and over. And know that Yahweh in the last days, Revelations, written in 96 AY, is for us only, the house of Yahweh only. We're the ones that are taking it out, the house of Yahweh. That's proven in a thousand different ways. Here's one of them right here. This is your fan. We're going to have those fans available. If you can see that, and with the donkey, original donkey cloud sitting up in the clouds, that's a original picture, but it looks like those clouds, the house of Yahweh, is in the clouds. And then of course the license plate that takes in that Yahshua and Yahweh means Yahshua and means Yahweh. The license plate of 1074 that you just saw is a wonderful job the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins just gave. But that 1074, the 1074, you type that in, the 1074, and you get 1934, my birth date. I thought that was pretty neat of Yahweh, but all the other stuff, it's just amazing what Yahweh, he hasn't missed anything. On the other hand now, with the wars that the scripture is predicting to come a reality, the most of that prophecy has already been fulfilled, the first 3.5 years, and then the part in between the two halves of the 7-year peace treaty. But here we see U.S. monitoring Russia harassment of shipping near Ukraine. I don't know if you've seen this in the news, as we had some of it, but Russia has delayed the transit of hundreds of commercial ships near a key Ukrainian port, a move that some analysts say amounts to a de facto blockade in an increasingly volatile region. Russia's actions to impede maritime transit are further examples of its ongoing campaign to undermine and destabilize Ukraine. I just read another article later, the headline showing that they had blocked this pathway this morning, and holding it up, they're saying, for repairs. Of course, you could say that any time you wanted to block the oil from going to these other nations. You could say, well, you could go around the other way, which is thousands of miles, of course. Since April, Russia has detained ships and interrogated crews more frequently, the State Department said. Moscow has been building up its Black Sea fleet. The Black Sea, you really need to get this area in your mind. There's maps available. We could probably make you a copy of this one. It's a little bit hard to see. But the seas are right there. If I could put my finger on the strait, I got another map that I think is better than this one. I'll show you later. But this is where the trouble is, in that fourth part of the earth right there. And, of course, it's building. We see it building. A war is not started overnight, but they build up to it. And we can see this prophecy being built up to at this time from Hurt Not the Oil. That connects it with chapter 6 of Revelations, Hurt Not the Oil. And then it connects it with religion in chapter 13 of Revelations. Let us be like. Let us be like the first beast. The first beast I just read you about here, and Yahweh tells you, tells you don't go near it. The Coptic Catholic religion, which has spread throughout the world and now sits on the seven hills of Rome, calling itself the Roman Catholic. This is the tribe of Yada, who rules the earth, has the law-passing tool, to pass all the laws and then say, well, this is a law, you got to obey it. Moscow has been building up its Black Sea Fleet and overall military posture since seizing Ukraine's Kamchatka Peninsula in 2014, a move condemned by the United States and much of the world. U.S. European Command said Friday it was tracking events. The U.S. now is tracking their moves. We continue to monitor the situation with merchant traffic in the Sea of Azov. I've got them circled on this other map. Let me see if I got it here. Yeah. Here is the Black Sea. Just above it here is that Sea of Azov. It's A-Z-O-Y. We continue to monitor the situation with merchants' traffic in the Sea of Azov. Now, they spell it A-Z-O-V here, said the lieutenant. We echo U.S. State Department's comments on calling on Russia to cease its harassment of international shipping in the Sea of Azov and the Kerch Strait. The Kerch Strait is right here under, below the Sea of Azov, the Kerch Strait. Now, this is what they got blocked this morning, right here. So, this is shipments where oil and other things, but mostly oil, come through to save them from having to go all the way around this whole sea to get back here, say, to Turkey or someplace like that. The Kerch Strait connects major Ukrainian port cities along the Sea of Azov to the Black Sea and ultimately the Mediterranean Sea. So you can see the traffic that comes through this strait. And, of course, Russia now has full control. They've set up full control over this. In studying this map right here, it looks like, now keep this in mind, because Yahweh made the earth, remember that, for mankind. But this, the way he made these straits and passageways, and then he made it possible for them to make one of their own, these must be shared. And in today's world, there's no sharing. It's all me, myself, and I. And the only place you find anything like sharing properly, righteously, is the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Now, U.S. warns Syria. Here's the next big blow up that we're facing now with a neighbor to Israel, where we're saying we're going to create a peace plan that will actually bring true peace to the two nations that's been fighting together all this time. U.S. warns Syria of swift, appropriate response if chemical weapons are used. Both the U.S. and France have recently issued warnings to Assad, as well as his Russian and Iranian allies. Now, all the intelligence are saying this could start a war that would end all wars, the one that the scriptures predict. We know from scriptures that will be a little while. About using chemical weapons, now Russia, Iran, Syria are all accusing the United States of creating this war and and creating the one before this where some poison gas was used. And they're saying that the United States is doing this in order to start a war. Other chapters that's been written on this book shows a plan of depopulation behind this. So by putting all of this together and the prophecy showing the one-hour burning, we've got a world at war that is actually looking at each other through the scopes of nuclear weapons and missiles. He says the United States is closely monitoring the situation in Abyad, a province, Syria, where millions of innocent civilians are under threat of an imminent Assad regime attack. Now, of course, we're saying we're trying to save the children by sending missiles, trying to save the innocent people by sending missiles and bombing. We got to kill them before they commit suicide. We got to kill them before the gas hits them to kill them. The United States and its allies will respond swiftly and appropriately. The United States will continue to work tirelessly with its allies to find a lasting diplomatic solution. And the diplomatic solution now, get this, please. The diplomatic solution they're looking for is told to you what it is in the 13th chapter of Revelations. Let us be like the first beast. Let us be like the first beast. So you see the religion there tied in with this hurt not the oil that is saying we need a depopulation because of global warming. And she has her hand, he has his hand, remember, on the neck of everyone in the world. Now this is Yada. So you tie all these scriptures together in your mind. That takes some studying. That really takes some studying. And you'll never make it if you got hatred in your mind. You should be absorbing this and praising Yahweh for it. And you're sitting there with a frown on your face. Yep. I feel sorry for you. Each nation puts forth a righteous front while they kill and displace millions of people in that fourth part of the earth. That's going on right now. Right now. They will not repent. That's in Revelations 9. They will not repent. They will not stop. That's what it means. They're not going to stop this. They will not repent. Revelations 9. Let me read it. Revelations 9, verse 20. And the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still would not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. I don't know if David covered that today about the prince of demons. Okay, he will next week. But you've got to remember this when you see this, the demons, because Yahshua himself dealt with demons. And he dealt with them in a big way. And the prince of demons is spoken of as early as Daniel. That would be the leaders of this group right here. And Revelations, written in 96 AY now, I'll keep reminding you of that, only for us. It didn't get to anyone else, brethren. It was locked up until it was turned loose and brought to the whole world, including America. And here it's talking about that they won't repent of the works of their hands that's going on here in this fourth part of the earth. And we can see it building in the straits, like Yahweh designed this, to where they would have to share these straits to get their stuff out. Well, mankind, in his Nimrod military training schools, says close the gate. Close the gate and make them do what you want them to do. Give tribute. That's what they want. Tribute and, of course, loyalty to their religion. Don't leave anything out. Yahweh has set all of this up. There's the oil and the religion, the desire to depopulate, take over the whole earth after depopulation. They won't want it once they see it, even if they were alive, but they won't be. But read that. They show you the fourth part of the earth, verse 14, in and around the great river Euphrates. That's verse 14. And by there, they're going to slay a third part of man. That's verse 15. Verse 15. Then verse 20, he said, and the rest of the men who were not, they're going to continue this war. They're going to continue this war. After a third part of that area, that fourth part of the earth, is wiped out, they're going to continue their warring until the great burning, 1 hour burning, takes place. By these plagues, still did not repent of the works of. Let's see, and they should not worship. Oh, let me go back here. They still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. So here we see the works of their hands that has brought forth the increase in knowledge, the magnificent planes and nuclear missiles and nuclear bombs, started in 1934, remember, along with the birth of the witness, the start of the house of Yahweh for this seventh work, the thing that you're sitting in right now and could be a part of it big time, big time. And go into the kingdom. And go into Yahweh's kingdom as one of Yahweh's family. But they won't repent of these wars. They won't repent of this attitude. This Nimrod attitude. They won't repent of it. The Nimrod attitude, hold your place right there. And let's go back here to chapter 10 of Genesis. Chapter 10 of Genesis. Here's your Nimrod attitude. Verse 6, chapter 10 and verse 6. The sons of Ham are Cush, Mithraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, that's the sons of Ham. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabat, Ramah, Sabtecha, and the sons of so-and-so. Now in verse 8, Cush begot Nimrod. Now, this is not a son. His sons are listed right up here. Nimrod is not a son, but it's a military training school. Begin to be mighty. Mighty. When you can close a strait, you're mighty. When you can do this and don't have to ask permission, you're mighty. Now, that is their attitude and their thoughts of being mighty. And they want to be mighty. They want to be a mighty God. Like all the other gods. Israel had a different god for every city. And they would go and take from the other gods if they were powerful enough. Remember one of those gods came down to Abraham? You remember that? Took Lot and a bunch of animals and so forth. And Abraham, without firing a shot, without shooting an arrow, went after them. They were totally destroyed themselves. Abraham didn't do it. All he did was go get his stuff when they dropped it and left it. Plus, they dropped all of their other stuff, and he picked it up too. Took it back with him, gave it to a king, and told the king, I don't want any of your stuff, and I don't want any of this stuff I've taken from these crooks that came and got it from me. He said, I don't want you to think that you have any part in this work of Yahweh that is going on here. You can't say, oh, I paid for that work, can you? If you stole your tithes from the house of Yahweh, you can't say, oh, I paid for that work. No, you had an opportunity to be a part of that work with your tithe. But since you stole them, you stole what was left of your eternal life. That was it. You were marked off of Yahweh's books. You cut yourself off from Yahweh. Well, that's what we see in these nations right here, and what's going on in that fourth part of the earth, the moves that they're making, and the other nation saying, I think you've made the wrong move. You're going to cause this nuclear war. Well, the reason they made all these moves to begin with was to become strong enough to resist the one that is saying, you shouldn't have used that gas. We're going to have to bomb you now. They're saying to the religion that came out of Egypt with the 12 tribes and was accepted by them, all the gods they were worshiping, the demons they were worshiping, as that we just read in Revelation, they came out with them and they're guiding them, and they still won't repent of this. But you see this, look at chapter 10, Genesis 10 and verse 9. He was a tyrant. The school taught this. A tyrant and deceived, also deceiving. So he taught the religion. This was a religion of deception. Turning against Yahweh. That's the same thing you see in Leviticus that I just showed you. The Catholic Church, where Yahweh said, don't go back to this mess you just came out of in Egypt. Don't go back to this God worship. Then if you remember 1 Samuel 8, they turned back, all the elders. They didn't turn back at that time. It was always with them. They just came and said, we want to be ruled with one of our kings. We want to pick a king, and we want to be like all the other nations, which were also God worshipers. Well, he was a tyrant who deceived, who turned against Yahweh. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a military school of training, a tyrant that teaches tyranny, who deceived a religion, who deceives. Remember, Revelation 12:9, who deceives the whole world. But in the last days, I will establish my house, and what will it do? They'll learn war no more. Well, that's what you are right now. You're part of it. You better not lose it. It won't be offered to you again. Who turned against Yahweh. This whole mess here is all put together for you that we're now seeing in everyday news. The beginning of the kingdoms that followed this religion here. The beginning of it was Babylon. And then Yahweh said, I'll take you beyond that. take you to the seven hills of Rome. Okay, back to Revelations now, 9. And he says, and the rest of the men who were not killed, what they don't kill in that fourth part of the earth now, the same religions, by the way, the same religions, what they don't kill, they still won't repent. They'll see this. They should be able to see that it's not helping. It's making matters worse. Every move they make makes matters worse. War makes matters worse. And the rest of the men who were not killed of these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands. Works of their hands. The knowledge increase, the computer. That's in works of the man's hands. The bombs, the planes, the missiles that carry them. That's all the works of man's hands. That they should not worship, that serve demons. Demons. Yeshua dealt with Satan's demons big time, cast them out of Yahweh's people, but also to show his power, by the way, over demons, over the gods. Look at verse 21. Neither did they repent of their murders, nor their sorceries, which is pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals, if you want to make a note of in your book of Yahweh for that, nor of their fornication. Oh, boy. Big time. Russia reportedly warns the U.S. Now, this is Russia warning the U.S. now that it's prepared to attack a key base where dozens of U.S. troops are stationed. You know, one very small nuclear bomb, tactical nuclear, as they call it, could destroy that whole thing there where they're set up, the one that Russia is talking about. Here's another one now. Here's the lifestyle, U.S. dollar ditched. They rejected it in Iran, Iraq, bilateral trade official says dollar-based transactions between Iran and Iraq have been discarded. El Aska said in Saturday, adding that euro, the Iranian rule, that's R-I-A-L, and the Iraqi dinar, D-I-N-A-R, are mostly used in the bilateral trade exchange between the two neighboring countries. Well, of course, this is going to spread, but if the U.S. allows it to spread. But see, you've got to remember that scripture, hurt not the oil. That hurt not this oil trade. The president of Russia and Turkey and Iran are meeting in Tehran on Friday for the third trilateral summit to discuss the situation in Syria. So Syria is involved here. And remember what I brought you already about the it all resting on Damascus. You'll see that. Remember that word resting, because other scriptures show you got to have it in mind anyway. I want you to go back to Daniel now, Daniel the 9th chapter, because this right here, we're up to date on Daniel's prophecy right here. The 9th chapter of Daniel. You really need to get this in your mind right here. You can't understand Yahweh's plan. You can't understand any of the scriptures, the law, or anything, unless you get these prophecies here. As I said to begin with, the book of Yahweh, it can't be praised enough. It shows Yahweh's creation. Praise Yahweh. It shows His creation, the reason for His creation. It shows Him guiding and directing His house in these last days in this world of war that turned against Yahweh. the world, the people that have turned against Yahweh and still won't repent. But here in the ninth chapter of Daniel now, it was in the ninth chapter of Revelations a while ago that this right here, the last part of it, refers to. But he paints you a picture here that most of the prophecies here have come true already. And he said, he gives you 70 weeks of years. Now this is verse 24. This is 70 weeks of years or time periods of action. It's like the seven-year period. The seven-year period is period of action, but the action is stopped and the time stops. The first 3.5 years went through, that activity went through. When it came to other things, it stopped. Netanyahu shut it down. He became the prime minister of Israel, so he shut it down. The seven-year peace plan, he shut it down in exactly 3.5 years after it started. Well, of course, that is shown here from 24 to 27. You can't halfway listen and understand any of this. You can't half-heartedly study it. Even if you have my work and you half-heartedly study it, you can't understand it. You've got to love it, brethren. You've got to love your study. Praise Yahweh. You got to really get your mind on righteousness and wanting to be a part of Yahweh's kingdom. You know, the book of Psalms says, if you do this, nothing can offend you. You won't be showing your offense to me either. I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. I can only tell you what to do. I can't force you. And you can get up and leave any time if you want to. Nobody's holding you. But I'm going to tell it the way it is in the Holy Scriptures. And it hurts those who don't have their hearts right. Those who have their hearts right, it builds them and makes you even stronger. 70 weeks are determined upon your people. Now, to find out your people, you know, Yahweh is going to save his people. That's what the name Yahshua means. He will be named Yahshua because Yahweh will save his people from their sin. His people. Well, who is his people? Who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my sister or my brother? They that are doing the work of Yahweh, that is my family. Those that are leaving, you know, those that leave, they're not my family. No, I'm certainly not going to follow them. They threw it away, like the prodigal son. The prodigal son did this, and then he wanted to come back. And he said his heart was right when he wanted to come back. You know, he said, I don't care what I have to accept. Anything at all is better than out there. Well, Yahweh's going to save his people. Yahshua said the gates of hell will not prevail against them. 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city to finish transgressions, to stop transgressions. He's going to let it come to an end, you know, but it's going to end itself. Yahweh's not doing it. He's not going to slaughter these people. I know the King James Version translates some verses wrongly in trying to make out like that Yahweh's killing them because they won't keep his old Sabbath day. Well, that's the mentality of the world right now. The same mentality is building bombs to kill people. A third part of the people over that fourth part of the earth. That's the mentality of those that are cursing the house of Yahweh and Yahweh. they could have had this great knowledge that Yahweh offers them that shows them, look, you do this, you're going to bring war. You're going to bring continual war. The book of Yahweh says that 70 weeks of years are determined upon your people and upon the holy city to finish transgression. That's one of them. Transgression, most people don't know what transgression is. They don't read 1 John 3:4, which says sin is the transgression of Yahweh's laws. And if you practice transgressing Yahweh's laws, you belong to Satan, not Yahweh. That's where the whole world turned to when they followed Eve and Adam and Cain into resisting or following Yahweh. When they turned from Yahweh, they turned to Satan, and immediately the demons, or gods, as she called them, be like the gods, strong, mighty, like the gods, knowing evil. And of course, this is what we see in the world today. It's bringing confusion and continual war. You haven't seen the war stop, have you? Anybody seen the war stop? It looks like in this generation, we've been on earth now for 6,000 years. It looks like we would have overcome some of these things, don't it? But there's continual war. To make an end of sins, make an end of sins. That's what this 70 weeks of years is going to bring right here. The 70 weeks of years, now it's times of action. Certain things are going to be brought in by Yahweh from seven works, the seven works that He has lined up before the world was, before the world was created, before the earth was created. This plan was with Yahweh to bring forth a righteous family, which you're sitting in it right now. You're part of it right now. You can take it away from you anytime you want to. You can cast it off. To make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for past iniquity, for your past sins, we wouldn't have the right to go on living if it wasn't for Yahshua, who Yahweh gave His only begotten Son to go through this hellacious torture that He went through and die for our sins, stay in the grave 3 days and 3 nights as the sign, by the way, that He was the true Messiah, to make reconciliation for iniquity. That's Yahshua, who, I think I want David to bring that again. Don't forget what he brought this morning. This is it shows that this man had to come from the house of Yahweh, and what he brought there was not a geographical location of his birth. He was born where the scripture says he was born. But he was born of the house of Yahweh, not inside a building. That's not speaking of the building he was born in. It's or the geographical location in which he was born. It's speaking of the house of Yahweh. He was the Son of Man born in the house. We have children born in the house of Yahweh. Many of you were born in the house of Yahweh. And that's what you need to get out of that this morning. I think we'll have it brought again during the feast. It's a very important subject. It's a very important point that you need to cover, that you need to remember. the star, as is written in the King James Version, where they followed this star. You could get in your automobile and you could pick out this star that you want to follow, and I'm afraid you wouldn't catch up with it, you know. I mean, in a fast-moving automobile. They can't do it in a plane either. Well, that's what we were trying to straighten out this morning. We saw his star, and it came over here and rested over here somewhere. Did any of you guys see it? Well, they had to be nitwits if they was asked in the world. Did you see that star? You know, the way the King James Version, if you just take it like that and you don't really study it, you're still as much of an idiot as they are. The ones, they might be a little bit smarter, in fact, the ones that translated that, because they translated it to deceive. There's no way you could translate it that way, the way the King James Version is translated, if you're translating the Scriptures. And this is what the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins is bringing out this morning. But anyway, he was born of the house of Yahweh, in the house of Yahweh, but not in a particular building. It's not showing a particular building or a particular location. Bringing in everlasting righteousness, that's after the reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, that's what you're doing right now. That's what you're doing. While you're sitting here and listening to these scriptures, first off, let him who readeth understand. That's the first thing. Well, he tells you who it is that understands, that he will give understanding to. Great understanding. That's what he does. And it's in the prophecies as well as the gematrias brought out this morning. Let him who readeth, that's the King James Version, understand. It takes a lot to understand this. This has been going on for years, and it's never been understood until this time period. This whole thing right here, it's never been in one book until this time period. It's never been in a book. It was created and put in a book for your benefit. You sitting here, you're the ones, the righteousness that Yahweh is bringing in, to bring in everlasting righteousness. You're the start of this, the house of Yahweh, in these last days. As the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins said this morning, there is no other. After this seventh light, the seventh light is 1074. It started in 1934, which is 1074. How can you get any plainer? I'm sitting here pointing at it somewhere. I was a while ago. Let me point at it again here. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I'm sitting there pointing at it. We had trouble getting it. Remember, there's a long story behind this whole thing. And the great deacon, Rutosky, he was the one that was getting the tag. He is the one that's having the trouble. He went directly. He says, well, I'm just going to go on up there. Well, I said, when he was putting the tag on, I said, there's got to be something, some reason for all this problems, because he's talking about all the problems he had. I said, there's got to be some reason. Satan don't want us to get this, or Yahweh wants us desperately to get this tag number for some reason. Well, of course, you can see all of it now. So Yahweh, he's in control of the smallest things in our life, the smallest events in your life. And he will be, brethren, unless you cut yourself off from him. It's you that cut yourself off. I don't care if somebody kicked you in the teeth. It's you that cut yourself off. And you let that little something bother you. Yes, it's you. You're the one that made the decision as to how you handle every problem. And you prove to Yahweh in this way you can do it. What are you proving now with your stupid attitude? Repent and be converted. That's what Yahweh wants you to do. I'm here to test you. You know what an honor it is to be tested in the house of Yahweh? Did you know you're being tested for the greatest family in the universe? Yahweh is building His family right now. His first sons, they left their first estate. If you leave your first estate, you think Yahweh's going to turn around and offer it to you again, all this power that He intends to give you? It's still your saying. It's still your game. You know, you can get kicked out. You can say whatever you want to. But if you leave this work, it won't be offered to you again. You could come back as a slave, which would be great in the kingdom, but you'll never get this offer that is given to you in Genesis 1:25 ever again. Everlasting righteousness, you are it. You are the everlasting righteousness that Yahweh is talking about here in Daniel that was written in the year of 538. 538 BY. And started coming to pass. Those numbers, by the way, are shown in Gematria. Started coming to pass in 1934. To seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holiest of the holy people. Our time is up, and I think this is a great place to stop right here anyway. What I want you to do, what I want everyone to do, you'd be wise if you take my advice, is to listen to this sermon over again. We have that available in the house of Yahweh. If you miss a sermon, you can get it on tape, on disc. Plus, it'll be played on television. Michael will see to it that it is. And you can watch it there. It's not lost right now. It will be lost if you don't. If you don't have the want to do so, you can throw it away. And Yahweh is not begging you. I am, but Yahweh is not. I'm begging you to straighten up. Get sin out of your life. Straighten up your attitude. You're supposed to be rejoicing. The Sabbath, that's what it's made for, rejoicing. Bring joy and gladness to your mind and your heart. And you would have it right now if you was keeping the Sabbath properly. You would have that joy. I get so excited when we get near a Sabbath. And phone calls start coming in, a little bit irritating, but I quickly put it out of my mind and I get my mind back onto this. We're going to have problems, brethren. There are going to be problems. There's going to be problems in the kingdom that you're going to have to face. You'll have the knowledge to do so, but unless you get rid of this attitude, that's what's holding you back. Get rid of the attitude and start bringing a joyous blessing to everyone around you on the Sabbath, and then maybe we can do so 7 days a week. There's 7 works, one for each day of the week, right? Get with it. It's you that's got to do it. It's not me. I can't do it for you. You're going to have to do it yourself. You're going to have to handle your problems. I'll help you to handle them. I'll advise you. The counselors, that's what they're here for, too. Of course, every one of you here now should be a counselor. You should be a counselor in righteousness. And if you put forth the studies, you can start being a counselor. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next song leader. I love you!